All right. Again, thank you for being here this morning. By the way, I didn't announce, but Brother Board and Mrs. Board are with us, and they're only here for, I think you're leaving tomorrow. And so he'll be preaching for us tonight, giving us an update on the team in Cambodia. If you don't know, Brother Board is our missionary in Cambodia, runs our team in Phnom Penh, and just doing a phenomenal job. And so we're looking forward to have him here with us tonight. I see the time. We're a little bit later start, but I will talk fast. You know, one of the most embarrassing things that can happen is you fall in front of somebody, right? How many of you have ever fell, tripped in front of somebody, right? I was thinking of vacation. I was sitting here years ago. We were on vacation, and we were driving through the redwoods. We stopped where there was a bunch of these big trees, and they all went to the store, and Hannah was with me. And they had this huge tree, the grandma tree. It was huge. And I'm like, Hannah, go over there. I'm going to take a picture of you in front of the tree. So she runs over there, and I'm trying to get the tree in the background, and I thought, There was this bench here made out of tree wood. I thought, I'm going to jump up on this and get a better picture. So I jumped up on it, but I didn't realize that it wasn't anchored to the ground. And I started going like this, and I was going to fall backwards. I thought, man, I'm not going to bash my head. So all I remember is I threw myself forward and just face planted. And I'm laying there like this. They had little dirt. It was all in my eye. I'm looking around like nobody saw it but Hannah, and she promised she would never tell anybody about it. But, you know, it's one thing to fall on accident, but people fall because usually they stumble over something, right? You know, I love these videos, and pray for me, I probably shouldn't. You like the videos of people, they're walking and they're so connected to their phones, they run into lamps, you know, they trip and fall into water fountains. I just think that's hilarious, okay? You are so addicted to your phone that you're literally, now if you walk in front of a car and you get run over, that's not good. But as long as you're running into a wall or something, it's okay, you'll survive and I can laugh. But nobody wants to stumble. But spiritually speaking, people stumble all the time. And when we stumble, we have to realize that, here's the point, there's a reason we stumble. Something caused the stumble. We're going to see that here in this chapter in Galatians. Look at verse 1. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. When I read that verse, there's a word that comes to mind. Freedom. Stand fast in the liberty. Now, what type of freedom is he talking about? He's talking about a spiritual freedom related to eternal life. In other words, they were saved and taken away from the bondage of having to keep the law or do something to be saved. There was a freedom found in Christ by trusting him. They would understand that type of freedom. They could easily apply that to spirituality, because we're talking to people that lived under the iron-fisted rule of the Roman government that really did not have freedoms. And so they may not have experienced the cultural freedom, but through Jesus Christ, they experienced their spiritual freedom. They had been released from believing some type of pagan belief system, a system of works and keeping the law for eternal life, which, by the way, nobody can do that. We know that. But there was a problem. After Paul left, there were some people that came into the church, call them Judaizers, but they came into the church and they were trying to tell them, yes, you can be saved, but you need to also keep the law. One of the primary things they were trying to get them to do was to follow the law of circumcision. That must have been a really hard sell. But Paul is dealing with that. Thank you. Paul is dealing with that with them, because they were losing their freedom that they had in Christ, not losing their salvation, but losing that assurance and freedom that God gave them. And he says, you know what? You need to not just have freedom, you need to stand fast in that freedom. By the way, if history tells us anything, that it's that when people get freedom, there's always going to be something or someone that comes along that tries to take that freedom from you, right? We look at these, I was going to say knuckleheads, but that's mean. College students that don't have a brain in their head, that want socialism. I'm sure we have people here, your nationality is from a country that maybe was steeped in socialism before. You know, socialism, communism. By the way, those two things always lead to atheism. That's a tenet. They're not building more churches in China, they're actually tearing them down. And so there's no freedom. And he says, stand fast in these freedom. The word stand fast means to be persistent and firm. Don't give up any ground. Remain upright. And he says, don't become entangled. Entangled means to be ensnared to the where you lose your freedom. In a nutshell, he's telling them, stand fast. Stand firm in your faith. And don't allow yourself to be entangled or stumble in the freedom Amen. That you have in Jesus Christ. You know, that's still the admonition for us today. We ought to stand firm in the salvation and freedom that we've obtained through Jesus Christ. Let us not stumble and become ensnared in bondage again. Say, Pastor, how would that happen? What would cause us to stumble in our freedom in Christ? Well, if we're not going to stumble, if we're going to remain steadfast in standing, there's some things that we must have right. Let me give you a few this morning. First of all, we must, and it always does start, we must have the right salvation. Yes. The right salvation. Look at verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. He says, look, and Christ came to save you, and you trusted in him, and you don't have to do anything else. Why would you want to go back to this law that has nothing to do with salvation? Verse 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness. What's those next two words? By faith. It's all of faith. And we can't be entangled. Listen, and I know if you're saved in here, you're here, you're probably not trusting in works. And if you are trusting in works, let me just say this, you're not saved. You're not a Christian. Because there's nothing you can do to become a Christian. You can never be good enough. The fact of the matter is the law or the principles of the Bible we are supposed to obey show us that it is impossible for us to always obey them. You can't obey all of them. Yep. If you're perfect, come see me because I've never met one. Yeah. In fact, we're supposed to try to keep those after we're saved because of our love for Christ, but really the law that was given shows us that our need for a Savior, our need for forgiveness. We need to have the right salvation. Don't let anybody ever take that away from you. We need to understand. We do not need to do because through Jesus it's already been done. Christian life must be lived, listen to me, by in the assurance of faith. And the first assurance we have to have is the assurance that we've been saved and we've been forgiven apart from anything we can ever do. Right. Amen. It's not a process. Yep. It's an act. Amen. It's a declaration. Someone that is standing before a judge and for right or whatever wrong, if they are found not guilty and they are declared at that moment not guilty of that crime, that's over. They can never be accused of that. They can never be for that particular crime tried again. It's over. It's declared that day in the courthouse. That's how salvation is. By the way, they would understand in the ancient Greek culture, they had a very unique way of freeing slaves. You see, a slave could save up enough money to buy his freedom, but because they had no legal rights, even if they bought their freedom, they weren't granted it because they had no rights as a citizen. They had no rights under the law. So if they had a master, they found a loop that loved them and wanted them to obtain their freedom, the master would go and give that money on their behalf to one of the false Greek gods, and they would now then become the property of the false god, and under the law, they could no longer be brought into bondage because they belong to that god. You know, we don't need to be brought into bondage. We belong to the real God. Our sins have been forgiven in Christ, and we need to get that nailed down. If you struggle with that, either one of two things. Maybe you're not saved, or maybe you just don't understand it. You haven't grown enough to have that assurance. I remember 30 years ago, there was two men and they were walking by a river and they were debating about salvation. And one believed you could lose it. And the other believed you couldn't. And so as they were walking, the one that believed that you could not lose your salvation said, let me explain it to you. And he picked up a rock out of the mud and said, that rock is dirty. And he walked over to the little stream that was going by and he washed it. He says, now that rock is clean and you're saved. And the other guy took the rock out of his hand and said, okay, the rock was in the mud and you washed the rock and the rock is clean. And he took the rock and he threw it back in the mud. He said, but you can become dirty again and you can lose your salvation. And the other guy picked up the rock and said, okay, it's in the mud. And he threw it in the stream. And he said, now it'll be forever clean. We're in the stream of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every sin that you will ever commit has, I'm not saying go out and do what you want. But when it comes to salvation, if you've trusted Christ, every sin that you've ever committed is forgiven. And you have to nail that down. There's no way you're going to stand fast in liberty unless you understand that you have been freed through salvation. So you need the right salvation. Do you know what else you need? You need the right people. This was the Galatians problem. And you see it in verse 7 through 12. Let me read a few verses. Look at verse 7. He said this, ye did run well. Remember, the Christian life is like a race. What's the next word? Who? Who did hinder you? Who? That you should not obey the truth. This persuasion cometh not from him that calleth you. And he's given an illustration about people. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A wrong person came into them. By the way, you know, we always see when someone has a problem in their life, it's like, what happened to them? You know what I am finding out? That 99% of the time, it's not what happened, it's who happened to them. Who is influencing them? What is going on? He says, a little leaveneth the whole month. Verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. You know where their problem in their salvation, doctrinal belief? The problem was a person. It was a who, not a what. And by the way, that problem is because of who we allow to influence us. Usually we get off course in what we believe, or we get off course in how we act because we have been influenced by somebody to have that belief or to have that action. Be very careful. Our standard of right and wrong is not other people. Now, other people can be a blessing to us. Other people can set a good example for us. But ultimately, we have to go back to the scripture. Ultimately, we have to go back to what God says. Too many of us sometimes, we base what we do off of what other people say. I have heard this before, especially young people. They'll see someone that has no Christian testimony in the way they live, and they'll see that, and it's appealing to them, and they'll say, well, they're a Christian, and they do that. That's not the standard of right and wrong. How many of you have ever been lied to by somebody? How many have ever been lied to by somebody that claimed to be a Christian? Does that mean all Christians are wrong? No, it means that person was wrong. That's why my standard has got to be the Word of God. And I don't want somebody to wreck that. Listen to this verse in Proverbs 19:27. Cease, that means stop, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. He says if somebody is telling you something that is not right, that is not scriptural, that would cause you to err in the faith, he says, quit listening. You want me to get really mean? Because I'm not going to be mean. I'm going to let the scripture tell you. Look at verse 11. This is brutal. Okay, I didn't say this. Say, Pastor, I don't like what you're going to say right now. Okay, take it up with God, because I didn't say it. Ready? Look at verse 12. I would that they were cut off which trouble you. You know what the word cut off means? I looked it up. It means amputate. Right? Let's just say, I don't know, I've not had it, gangrene. If you got gangrene in your hand, in your arm, at some point, if it could not be brought under control, what are they going to do? They're going to amputate that part so that the rest of the arm doesn't get corrupted or the rest of your body doesn't get corrupted. You know what he's saying? If somebody is leading you down the wrong way, he goes, I wish they would amputate. Now, I'm not saying we should go cut their arms off, or I'm not saying that. But you know what? Sometimes we need to amputate them from our lives. I'm not saying be mean-spirited. You understand that, right? Because some people, they just don't know the Lord. And I'm not saying that. But you know, when I started living for God as a 18-year-old, I had to make a decision, and I lovingly amputated my friends from my life. It was so noticeable on a Friday night, a couple of them came to my house. We didn't have cell phones or social media and that stuff. We only had carrier pigeons, right? And stuff like that, and tin cans with string. That's how we communicated. But they came to my house on a Friday night, and I wasn't out partying with them anymore. And I didn't do this all the time, Brother Board, but that particular night I was actually reading my Bible and studying it back in my room. And I don't sound super spiritual. I didn't do that 24 hours a day. Just so happens that night I was looking at something. And here came my two buddies. And my mom said, your buddies are here. Okay? It was Gary and, not Robert, David, Rebelato. And they came by my house and said, man, we haven't seen you in several weeks. And I didn't tell them why. I'm like, because I ain't doing that anymore. I didn't tell them. They said, what were you doing? I'm like, well, I mean, I was in my back room going through my Bible. And the look on their face like, huh? Like, this is what I do. You know, they had to go real soon. Oh, you know, hey, we're going to go do something. We'll see you later. And by the way, I invited them to church. One of them got saved. But I couldn't allow them that influence in my life. Because if I did, I would have went right back to what I was doing before. In fact, I'll say this. The one time, I don't even know why I did it. The one time I was at home and I wasn't doing something and I thought, man, I'm going to go check on Dave. Just see how he's doing. And I got in my motorcycle and I rode over to his house. And I was sitting there. And I was, how you doing, Dave? And blah, blah, blah. And he's like, hey, we're going to go do this thing. And he asked, it was a concert. And I used to go to concerts. He goes, you ought to come with us. And I don't even know why I said it. I said, okay. And as soon as I said it, man, I felt horrible inside. I thought, that's not godly. I've been there before. I know what goes on. And I just said, you know what? I got to go. And I just left. You got to be very careful. I love my friends. I invite all the church. Many of them came. Some of them got saved. But I wasn't going to, I had to amputate their influence from my life. So be very, very, very careful. Look, one more verse and we'll move on. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, O foolish Galatians, and there, what's the next word there? Oh, you're probably not there. He says, who hath bewitched you? It's a who, that you should not obey the truth. Before we move on, I must ask, who are you allowing to influence you? Parents, let me just throw this out here because this is vitally important. Who are you allowing to influence your families? Your children? Don't give them a device. Please. Please, please, please. You throw a device at that child, they are so much smarter than us. No, Pastor, I have checks and balances. I know. They checked it off and they balanced it the other direction. They're smart. They're smart. I found out, I don't know, Joseph, I think they closed the door on this one. I found out several years ago that kids were hooking up with the wrong people and actually looking at pornography through Bible software. These parents found out, like, man, my kids are on that Bible software all day long. There was a social connection through the software. They had to close that back door. So be very, very careful. Now you guys aren't going to let the kids use software in their Bibles. But we have to be very careful. By the way, where are our kids being educated?
Yeah. Come on.
It's summer, so I'll throw that out there. We have a Christian school for a reason.
Yes, sir.
And we don't have a Christian school because it's a moneymaker, because it's not.
Yeah.
We don't have a Christian school because it creates a lot of fun, because it doesn't.
No.
It's a lot of work and it's a lot of effort. But I realize this. Do you understand they're not teaching children reading, writing, arithmetic anymore?
Right.
They're teaching them about... Ask them. You say, Pastor, my kid's in a public school. Go ask the teacher how many genders there are. If they don't look you in the eye and say there's two, male and female, and you're born that way, you're putting your kids in danger.
Yep. Amen.
Okay, let's move on.
Come on.
That's important. Number three, we have to have the right kind of liberty. Look at verse 13. He says, for brethren, Ye have been called unto liberty in Christ. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Flesh basically means carnal, sensual, acting animalistic in that manner. Okay? Sometimes Christians do this, and it's in the Bible and other spots. Now, here the context is different, so I will give it to you in the proper context. But it also talks in many other verses where people use Christianity as liberty to live like they're not Christians. Okay? Talks about lasciviousness, that type of lifestyle. Do you know just because we're saved from our sin doesn't mean give us a license to live in our sin? Because praise God, we're not only saved from the penalty of sin, we're saved from the power of sin. Right? That life that I used to have, once I got right with God, I'm like, I'm out of here. I don't want to have this life anymore. I want something better. I don't want to just be saved. I want something better for my life. I want a future. I want to have a good future family. I want God to lead me in my life. I don't want that anymore.
Amen.
And I don't know how Christianity has turned it to say, hey, look, your sins are forgiven. Go do what you want. If those sins were bad enough in God's eyes to send us to hell, and it's bondage, why would we not want that in our lives, right? And so let's be careful. But I found as I read this that he's talking about in a specific area that I had not thought about. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. If you have the verses there, let's look at that next phrase. But by love serve one another. Do you understand the application he made here? The application he made here is that we use it for the flesh and it messes up our relationships. We don't treat people right. Let's read on. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Say, Pastor, I wanna fulfill the law. Love people. Who's your neighbor? Anybody that you come in contact with. Anybody who has a need. See, but when we're living in the flesh, not only do we live a lascivious or a sinful lifestyle, we live a selfish lifestyle. And we don't treat people right. Do you know just because you're a Christian gives you no right to be mean-spirited to people? Well, they don't like me because I'm standing for the faith. No, they don't like you because you're acting like a ninny. You're using your Christianity to allow your carnal flesh and those desires and anger to come out. And I've seen it. I'm like, brother, if you got saved, someone needs to tell your face. You have no right to mistreat people or beat them down just because you're saved. You say, now hold on, Pastor. Sometimes you talk a little bit, you know, you're a little bit rough with things. Or you tell, it's not rough, I'll tell you the truth. But whether or not you live the truth is between you and God. Okay? I'm just supposed to tell you the truth. But I know this, we ought to love one another. We ought to be there for each other.
Yes.
We ought to, I was going to say, we ought to love the world. When I say that, we ought to love the people of the world.
Yeah.
The greatest thing you can do to show your love is to take the gospel to them.
There you go.
It's not, and I'm all for right politics. Don't get me wrong. That's not my life. And when I mean right politics, I'm talking about the nonsense morality that's been brought into politics. It's not politics anymore. They're trying to change the morality of our country. Killing unborn, having children do sex change operations when they're not even old enough to get a piercing or a tattoo. I don't want them to get a piercing or a tattoo, but I'd probably rather have that. What are we doing here? He says, look, let's, I'm saved and bless God. Okay, but treat people with love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Are you ready? Because you carry a King James Bible. Nope, and I am for the King James Bible. Because you live right. Nope. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. Let me ask you this. When is the last time you've ever done something for somebody? And I know some of us are probably struggling financially, but maybe you have a little bit of abundance. When's the last time you ever heard of somebody that had a legitimate need? And you reached out and did something for them. That's Christianity.
Yes, sir.
Well, bless God, and I get it. They're in that position because they're on drugs. Okay. And I'm not going to buy them drugs. But some people need help.
Right.
We're supposed to love people.
Yes, sir.
If we don't have a spirit of love, that's why we go out and invite people, right? How silly would it be to go out and say, hey, man, Jesus loves you, come to church, and then we ignore him? How many of you would invite someone to your house for dinner, and then they show up and knock on the door, and you open the door like, oh, you actually came. Have we started on dinner yet? No? We got company. Come on now. Why don't we love one another? That's why you need to be a part of a church.
That's right.
You're going to need prayer someday, right?
Yes, sir.
Might be nice to have a church family that will pray for you.
Yes, sir.
You might have a need someday. Might be nice to have a church family that knows you and says, hey, we're here. Well, pastor, that's just not me. I'm just standing for the truth. Okay, stand for the truth and love the brethren.
Come on.
If a man say he loved God and hates his brother, thank you. You're helping me today. I appreciate that. You're a liar. So, liberty, I understand all that, but let me just say this. Liberty, which is abused, will be wrong with the way we love. We have to love. A person could come here, and I'll end here. I'm not done, but I'm finished. A person can come here and tell me how spiritual they are. They can tell me how much they love God. You can tell me how much you read your Bible. You can just tell me how much of Jesus you have. And if you treat others with a mean spirit, I don't believe you. You really want me to get picky? I'm feeling picky today. How do you respond to people's social media posts? Why is it because someone should I really go there? Thanks. Just because you're hiding behind a typewriter doesn't give you the right to get on social media. Well, you know, you're just a dumb. Seriously? So you're okay? You're not a Christian when you're... How about the emails you send one another? How about the text? I don't get a lot of it, but I've got people that have sent me emails and sent me texts, and I'm like, did you set your Christianity in the refrigerator? We never have a right to say something mean to somebody. Well, I'll throw a Bible verse on it. Well, why don't you throw this one right here? The law is fulfilled in this. Love thy neighbor. It's really quiet, but it's like we hide behind a phone and our iPad or a keyboard, and we say things that are hurtful that we would never say to someone's face. You say, well, pastor, I'll say it to their face too. That wasn't the point. But sometimes we abuse the flesh not by sinful practices but by selfish practices, and that'll cause us to stumble. And you know, maybe you won't stumble, but let me say this, that might cause somebody else to stumble.
That's right. Amen.
I don't believe anybody has an excuse to quit on God because of the way someone treats them, but if they do, I'd hate to be the one that does that. So what's the point today? I have no clue. I do. You know, we can stumble and not stand fast, and it's small things. Doctrinal issues, right? We start to get a little bit off. People giving us the wrong influence and using the liberty we have in Christ not as a vehicle to love somebody. I'm not saying be liberal, because see, what Christianity is doing today is like, well, we just got to love each other, so we'll put... it's not really a big deal now. The emergent church, it's not really as much a big deal. That's what the emergent church was doing, saying we're dividing people, keeping them from the gospel by believing standards and doctrine, so we'll push that off to the side. No, that's ignorant.
Yeah.
You can stand right.
Amen.
And love right at the same time. But let's not stumble over doctrine. Let's not stumble because of influences, and let's not stumble because we're just selfish.
Amen.
Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute if we may. Every head bowed and every eye closed just for 1 minute. If you're saved, you are either going to live a life of standing firm and standing in your liberty in Christ, that you do not have to work for your salvation, that God has a better plan for your life going forward, or you have the potential to stumble. I want you to stand fast. I believe in the Christian life so much, I think it's worth standing fast in. I believe in the liberty I found in Christ. Sometimes we look at people in the church like, well, you grew up in the church. You don't know what it's like on the other side of the tracks. I grew up and lived on the other side of the tracks. And when I crossed over, I am not going back. I'm going to stand fast where I'm at. That lifestyle was garbage. And that type of lifestyle hasn't gotten better in the last few years. It's actually getting worse. Now, let me say this, and then we'll have our invitation. Maybe you're here and you cannot stand fast in Christ because of the first point. You may not completely understand salvation. You may not have trusted Christ as your Savior yet. That can be taken care of. Here's the question. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven, or do you have any doubt? You say, Pastor, I actually have some doubt in my heart. I'm not 100% for sure, and I couldn't give you a scriptural reason why I'm going to heaven. Pastor, but I'd like to know that. Would you pray for me with nobody looking around real quick? If that's you, just would you put your hand up real quick and I'll pray for you and then put it down when I recognize anybody at all? Anybody at all? Let's stand together. At the end of our services, we have music and we have what we call an invitation. If God spoke to our heart, we'll come down to this altar and just pray and submit what God is trying to do in our lives. Are you standing fast? Are you struggling with some doctrinal issues? Have you lived in such a way that your assurance and your faith is not there? Are you allowing people to influence you away from Jesus Christ? Or are you just having a trouble acting like a Christian towards people? Why don't you come as a piano plays?